Morning. Romans chapter 15. We'll read verses 1 through 4 responsively. I'll begin reading in verse number 1 and you'll join me on verse number 2. We'll read that like that through verse number 4, and then we'll also read verse number 13 together as well. Romans chapter number 15 this morning, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says in Romans 15:1, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Let's read verse number 13 together. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost."
And I forgot, let's pray. Father, please help us as we gather around your word today. Lord, there are scores of people in this room. That means there are multiplied scores of problems and needs. Lord, there's no way that I could reach each one personally, but you could allow the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Word of God to apply to them. Help us to get what we need from it today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Let me have your attention. Keep your Bibles open today. We're going to use them a little bit, but I really want to speak to your heart today. Life is not easy. Life is not easy because sin has made it difficult. May I say something very pointed? We have no right to expect that life is going to be easy. Why do we get disillusioned when problems come? You see, we are sinners. Everyone around us are sinners. And sin causes trouble. You say, well, not me. Did you have kids? You had sinners. And they learned it from you. No comments back here. Because of sin, because of the problems sin brings, people get discouraged and tend to lose hope. Long-term sickness or weakness causes people to lose hope. Our weaknesses can cause us to lose hope. The constant barrage of one problem after another can cause people to lose hope. My pastor used to teach me that things come in waves for churches. He didn't tell me they were tsunamis, all right? Seeing people around us struggle, seeing people around us mess their lives up, or seeing them cause problems can cause us to lose hope. Financial mismanagement can cause us to lose hope, whether it be ours or the government's. Stress and strain in the work environment can cause us to lose hope. God tells us here in Romans 15:1 an amazing truth about hope that we miss. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak." Now everybody look at me for a moment. God doesn't say we who are looking for hope should find it. He said we that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak. Now listen to me very carefully here. This is not teaching us that welfare is right. This is not teaching us that you take from the rich and give to the poor. This isn't taking from the producers and give to the non-producers. It is not only, may I say this, it is not only for the weak's sake that we ought to bear their infirmities. God does not say, bear the infirmity of the weak for the weak's sake. Notice what it says. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak." And not to please ourselves, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Skip down to verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, which, what is aforetime? What we just read. Were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. God says we don't get our hope just by hoping. We get our hope by bearing the infirmity of the weak. Now, God tells us that by doing this, or by helping the weak, we find hope. Everybody look at me for one moment here. And I love you enough to say this. We live way too much for ourselves. Most of us live fairly selfish. How does this affect me? How does this affect my kids? How does this affect my home? How does this affect my family? And it's more about me and mine and less about others. Too many of us live to please ourselves. It's all about how I feel, what I get, or how I am treated, or what I want, what position I get. The more selfish we live, the less hope we have. The more selfish we live, the less hope we will have. That is not your pastor saying that. That is God saying that. God said that we ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and live for our neighbor and not ourselves. For therein we have patience and hope. Now, may I say something? Look how sour and hopeless our world is today. Look how selfish society is today. Oh, you have to wear a mask so somebody else doesn't get sick. We say that is because we care about others. No. Well, I've got to hibernate for 2 years because I might get sick. Did you know people got sick for 2 or 7,000 years before COVID? Hate to disappoint you. I'm not being foolish here, you know, but nor was I foolish when people had flu. Somebody's got the flu and I, here, shake my hand, preacher. No. But I am not going to run and hide and quit living life and hibernate from the entire world because I'm just so afraid. Did you know you're going to die? Someday? You're going to die of something? You could live as healthy as you want and drive your car down the road and get whacked and killed. Preach many a funeral for that. So maybe it's not about others, it's about ourselves. Now, I want to preach a sermon to you today called Finding Hope. That's not a person, it's a thing. All right? Finding hope. First of all, this is an important statement. Hope is not gotten by looking for or seeking it. It is a byproduct of something else. Let me say that again. Hope is not something you go looking for like an Easter egg and say, Shazam, I found it. Hope is a byproduct of something else. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just about 15, 20 pages over from where you're at, probably. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've been in church very long, you've probably heard 1 Corinthians 13. It's called the love chapter. It's all about charity or love. Now, everybody look at me for a moment. Love is not gotten love is given. Love is not something you get. Love is something you do. That is why God uses the word charity. Charity is something you give. And love has to give to be satisfied. Love is not satisfied by being given to. Real love is in your giving, not in your getting. Lust is in what we want. Love is in what we give. Now watch this. Look at verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 13. Now abideth faith. What's the next word? Hope. Oh man, you sounded like a bunch of dead people. Now abideth faith and what? Hope. That's better. Whew, glad you're awake. Charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now look at me for a moment. God says there are three things that are greatest. Faith, hope, and charity. And charity is the greatest. Charity being love that is given. Did you know that hope is the same principle? It has to be given. You can't go looking for it. Faith is the same way. You don't go looking for faith. What most preachers, what most churches teach of faith is nothing but positive thinking. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen, according to the scripture. Love is not gotten by looking for it. It is given, and as you give, love is satisfied. But did you know the more you love, the more love comes back to you? It's amazing the more people I love, how loved I am. I mean that. Folks, you have to think through something. I know a lot of people. I have met millions and millions of people. I have preached to, over the years, 40 years of preaching, I have preached to over millions of people. That means I've learned to love a lot of people. That means a lot of people love me back. But I don't love them so I can get something. I love them because I love them. But the more people I love, the more love I get back. So hope is listed in the same list as love. We don't, by the way, it's listed in the same list as faith. We don't get saved by our faith. I'm going to show you something here. And I've been criticized for this. It's all right. It doesn't bother me. We get saved by the faith God gives us. God says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves." Oh, that is a relative pronoun. Yes, I understand English grammar. The word "that" renames the noun that precedes it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that what? That faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're in Romans 15, turn back just a few pages to Romans chapter 12. If you doubt what I'm saying, let me show you what another verse says. And I can quote about it. 10 more, and I'm not going to take time to, but look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, that every man is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Oh. God says, he has put into every human being enough faith to get saved. In other words, we're to take that faith that God puts in us when we come in contact with the gospel and say, okay, I'm not to think of myself more highly than I ought to think because I'm a sinner. Because I'm a sinner, I deserve death and hell, but Jesus came and paid my sin debt for me.
And the faith that God's given me, I'll put back in him and trust him as Savior, and I'm on my way to heaven.
Amen.
It is not, we sometimes say, put your faith. It's not your faith, it's the faith he gave us.
Amen.
I remember I was, and I've told this story before, I won't belabor it, but I was flying to Kansas City from Chicago to preach. I'd asked God to give me someone to sit next to give the gospel to while I was traveling. And we were there. I sat on the aisle because there's a little bit more leg room. And I had one seat here. And the guy when I got on the plane, there was already a guy with the shade down with his head against it going. He was gone, man. I said, well, this could be interesting, God. And the stewardess, after most everybody was on the plane, said, look, we have an absolutely full flight. We're waiting on one person, and we have one seat empty. Guess which seat was empty? Right there. And in a couple minutes, this little skinny drink of water, tiny little thing, come diddy-bopping on the plane, and she had a red dot on her forehead. And I thought to myself, okay, God, that wasn't funny. Because I know where she's got to be sitting. She came down the aisle and I helped her get her things pushed up top. And she got in. I sat down and I had my Bible open. And the stewardess is going through all of her. You know, you got the flotation device and them masks something down. They won't inflate, but you can breathe anyway, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know the routine. I've got my Bible out. I'm working on sermons. I'm not listening like I should, but I was working. And we pushed back, and we were getting ready to take off. And, of course, you got to put your tray in the upright position. And I put my Bible on my lap, and I was still working. And we just take off. And she said, are you a Christian? Now, that's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. That's like a blind dog in a meat house. I said, yes, ma'am, are you? She said, no. I'm Hindu. I'm from India. And I said, that's okay. I kept working. I thought, let's see where she's at, Lord. She said, what you working on? Is that a Bible? I said, sure is. She said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to Kansas City, and I'm going to be preaching tonight and tomorrow. And then I'm flying back. She said, that's interesting. What are you going to preach? You don't ask a Baptist preacher that question. I began to open my Bible and I showed her what the scripture said. I had to teach her who Jesus was. She looked at me. We're about 30,000 feet in the air, tears running down her face. She said, sir, I wasn't even supposed to be on this plane. I didn't find out till 10 o'clock last night. This is prior to 911. She said, I switched with one of my coworkers. I barely got here in time to get on this flight. Yeah, you got the last seat on the plane, trust me. She said, I grew up in a poor village in India. She said, every night I would walk out to the edge of our village and look up and say, there's got to be something else out there that I don't know about. She said, sir, is this what I've been asking for my whole life? I said, it's not a thing that you've been asking for. It's a who that you've been asking for. I reiterated the gospel to her. She bowed her head and trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Oh, my soul. I could have jumped out of that airplane and floated back to earth and never bothered me a bit. It was exciting. Now, wait a minute. She wanted hope. She was looking for hope. But she only found hope because somebody who was strong was willing to bear the infirmity of the weak. Can I tell you something? I had hope too after that. Man, that whole flight, man, I had my Bible open and she just sucking it down. I found out where she was at in the Chicago area. I said, I know a good church in that area. I said, if you give me your address, I'll have a church come by and talk to you so that you could get into a good church. She said, you would do that? I said, sure will. As far as I know, she's still in church. Now, wait a minute. She didn't have
anybody else's faith, but God put into that little Hindu girl enough faith of what it took to get saved. People all over the world worship something because they have faith. God put into every human a desire with faith. Well, I know an atheist. Yeah, they want to be their own God. They have faith in themselves. Stupid. Just like faith is not sought, it's given. Just like love is not looked for, it's given. Hope is not looked for, it's given. Now listen to this very carefully. As we bear the infirmity of the weak and we lead them to hope, God provides hope to those who are strong, leading those through their infirmity. You know, the best way to get hope is to quit looking for it and go out, find somebody that needs help and go help them. When I get a little discouraged, I don't get depressed, but if I get a little down or face a little bit of attack or things are getting heavy, I'll leave the office and go somewhere and try to find somebody to help them. And then I'll help somebody else. And by the time I get done, I've got all the hope I need to get through the next battle. You see, as we help others and find help them find hope, God gives us the hope we need. But you don't get hope by looking for hope. You get hope by helping someone else. You're discouraged, you're depressed, go make some cookies and take it to somebody. Go find someone who's hurting and help them. Go find someone who's discouraged and encourage them. Don't commit double suicide. People wander around with little or no hope because we're so selfish that we want hope for ourselves. But we're not willing to take time out of our misery to help somebody else find hope. Most people are like the Dead Sea. Do you know why the Dead Sea is dead? Because all the water runs into it and none of it runs out. So it all collects there and there is nothing that can live animal-wise and honestly even plant-wise in the Dead Sea. It is so salty that because it's not giving out, all the minerals just mix up in it and it's so salty you can't even sink in it. You don't have to know how to swim. Just go to the Dead Sea and you can float all day long. Say why? Because it only takes in, it never lets out. Sounds like a bunch of Christians to me. Sounds like a bunch of defeated people to me. Sounds like our society today. We want, give me, give me, give me, give me, but we don't want to give back. I was talking to Jennifer. She's been talking to some of the volunteer fire people and EMS. You realize that service and volunteerism in our fire and EMS is way down? I can tell you why. Matter of fact, she and I discussed it. Because we've told everybody it's not time to give, it's time to get. Period. We're so worried about what we get, we don't care about somebody else. You know why churches are dying? Because all they want is to get, they don't want to give. I'm having fun. So, we ought to quit seeking to get hope. We ought to seek people in need and help them. And in the process of helping people, God gives us the hope we need. I'm not a power of positive thinking person. You can think all day long that if I drop my keys, they're not going to hit the ground. But they're going to hit the ground. All right? You can say, well, I have faith. I have hope that this isn't going to happen. Guess what? It's going to happen. Do I believe God could help us not face this? Yes, but I'm not going to be upset if he didn't. When my mom was sick and near death, did I believe God could raise her? I believe he could, but I didn't believe he was gonna.
And I did not obligate him to. Did I ask him to? Yep. But when she went to heaven, I didn't fall apart. Can I tell you why? I had hope. I knew where she was at. Why should I fall apart? I've got hope. What did I do? I preached at other funerals, helped other people, pastored a church, pastored people who had needs and burdens and helped them carry their burdens. And in the process, God gave me all the hope I needed, but I wasn't looking for hope. I was looking to help someone else. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak. Why? Not just so they get what they need, but that's how we find hope. Hope is not looked for. It is a byproduct of helping other people. Boy, that's good stuff. Number two, the Bible and truth will be where we find our hope. The Bible and truth will be where we find our hope. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written, written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the what? Scriptures might have hope. Can I tell you something? Most people look for hope in all the wrong places. Again, please don't get angry with me. I'm not afraid to mention certain things. AA will not give you hope. The Word of God will. Sitting in a room full of survivors that are going through the same thing you're going through isn't going to fix your problem. The Word of God is.
Amen.
There is more hope in Scripture than there is anywhere in this world.
Amen.
Now, you don't give hope without giving truth. Please listen to me. We don't give children hope by lying to them.
Amen.
We tell them the truth. My son is 30 years old. Yeah, he's old. That means I'm real old. My wife's catching up to me in a few weeks. But from the time this child was born, he's been around funerals and deaths. I didn't shield my children from going to a funeral because it might traumatize them. I remember that he was about 3 years old. I was holding him. We were at a funeral, and he was finally getting to the point where he was becoming a real person with a real brain that was thinking somewhat. And it was somebody he knew. And I said, that's their body. That's their shell. But brother so-and-so is in heaven right now. He said, you mean he's where Jesus is? I said, yes, sir. He said, that's neat. He said, Daddy, can I touch him? I said, you sure can. He reached down and touched brother so-and-so's hand. He said, Daddy, that's cold. I said, that's what happens when the person's not there. The warmth of the person's gone. It's in heaven. That's just their shell. My son's never been afraid of death. My children have never been afraid of it. Say why? Because I exposed it to them. It's part of life. I remember when my boys shot their first deer. Both of them were about 9 or 10 years old. They've been taught gun safety their whole life. We're standing over an animal that's bigger than them that they've shot and killed. And I said, now look, what would happen if mom or dad or another person walked in front of you and you pulled the trigger? Ooh, that's why we look where we shoot. And the stark realization that they personally took a life. It's a sobering moment. Now, there's some excitement about it, but it's pretty sobering. It really is. If it's done right.
Amen.
And they've learned that there is death involved in life. We traumatize people. Oh, I don't want my child to be traumatized. Well, you're going to traumatize them by not letting them face life. I think every kid ought to have stitches by the time they're 3. Get it over with. They're going to get it a few more times in life. Might as well start them early. Get used to the needle and thread. Amen. Now, wait a minute. You don't give hope by lying to people.
Amen.
Oh, they're just sleeping. No, that's lying. please, I love people deeply, but I'm not going to lie to anybody. Brother Scott, when your mom was given her last diagnosis, I sat down with you and said, Brother Scott, I love you. I love your mom. But I'm not going to lie to you. Barring a miracle, she's not going to make it. And this is the process that we're going to go through. And here's the timeline. I was within a week of what I first told Scott. Say, why is that? Because I'm not going to lie to him. I refuse to. When the doctors called us about mom and her shape, I told my dad, Dad, it's not looking good. He said, I understand, but I want to try. I said, I want to try too. Brother Matthew, with Paula, you and I talked. And I said, Doc, I love you, I love her, but I'm not going to lie to you. I refuse to lie to somebody about truth. You say, well, preacher, you're not very kind. How is lying to somebody kind? Pray tell, how could lying to somebody withholding truth be good? So in order to give hope, you have to give people truth. The good thing was, Brother Scott, we knew where your mama was going. And when she took her last breath here, she was doing fine in heaven. Amen, Brother James. Miss Lily was doing fine. She went from praising God down here to looking at him praising him, and I'm sure he got an earful. Miss Loretta, Jimbo, being the stinker he was, he gave us a couple false alarms, but he's doing fine. He's doing fine. He was done hurting. I remember just the day before he went to heaven. He said, preacher, I said, Jimbo, do me a favor. Tell Jesus I love him. Give him a hug for me. I will, preacher. I said, would you do one more thing? What's that? I said, would you give my mom a hug and tell her I love her? He said, I'll do it, preacher. I'll give her a good one. Loretta will be okay with it. I said, yes, she will. I said, he said, Loretta wants me to start working on her mansion. I said, well, since you mentioned it, I got one more thing. He said, what's that? I said, would you build me a good hunting stand up there? He got that old silly grin on his face. He said, I'll do it, preacher. Titus chapter 1. If you get there, fine. If not, I'm going to start reading as soon as I get there. But 1 2 Timothy, Titus chapter 1, verse number 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Can I tell you something? Your loved ones who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, you have hope. We know where they're at because God promised it. Amen. They're there. Brother Mike, my mama's there. Your brother's there. Your daddy's there. Other loved ones are there. Some of you have lost babies. Can I tell you something? Your babies are there. They're fine. They're fine. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to turn to one more passage here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 11. The Bible says this. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Ooh. Look at verse number 18. That by two immutable things in which was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into them that within the veil. Can I tell you something? That speaking of that entereth that within the veil, that's talking about Jesus putting his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Do you know how sure your salvation is if you've been saved? You would have to go to heaven, go into the holy place, go into the holy of holies, and wipe the blood of Jesus off the mercy seat in heaven in the presence of God to lose it. Sounds pretty sure to me. How about you? You can't do that.
In other words, we have that hope. Listen to this very carefully here. People who tell others about Jesus struggle less with eternity. Because they're giving hope to someone else. As you witness to people, you'll struggle less about the afterlife if you're saved, because you're used to giving hope to people that had no hope. Soul winning is good so that we see people get the gospel, but it's also good for the soul winner because it's what gives us hope as we try to give hope to other people.
Amen.
We're supposed to read our Bibles, search the scriptures, for in them we have everything. They are the words of life. But not only that, God says in James 1, 22 and 23 and 24, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We're not supposed to just hear the words or read the words. We're supposed to obey the words.
Amen.
Do you know the more you obey the word of God, the more blessings you see?
Amen.
Do you know the more you obey the Bible, the more hope you have as a Christian? You see, we've got to live or obey the scriptures. So hope comes not because we look for it. It is a byproduct of us helping other people. Number two, we get hope through the word of God, not just hearing it, not just reading it, but by living it. Number three, and I'll finish with this very quickly. As we help others and learn and obey the Bible, then the Holy Spirit can give us hope. Look at Romans 15 again, verse number 13. I'm about to come unscrewed and shout. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now look at me. Hang on here. I just choked myself. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit is what gives, or is who gives us hope. And he does it through the word of God and our obedience to the word of God. You don't need to turn there, but Lamentations chapter 3, let me read several verses to you, starting in verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I love being up early in the morning watching the sunrise. God has smiled on Grace Baptist Church. We have the prettiest sunsets from this property of any place I've ever been in the world. We sit up high enough. The mountains are situated to where, man, the light is just unbelievable in the mornings. God uses how we go through past problems to give us hope for the current ones. Do you know how I know God's good? Because you're still sitting here. That little lady sitting back there on the back row, been through cancer 22 times. Car accident. Don't you think she's had a tough go? You think you've had a bad day. You stubbed your toe. I'm not talking about you. But, you know, you think you got it tough? She has hope. She wanted to make sure she got church today. And I was excited. Can I tell you something? Sometimes by getting through problems, that's why God says we don't forget those things and we can help others along the way, and God is going to be faithful whether we are or not. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God didn't say it was going to be easy. God didn't say you would be problem free. And hope doesn't take the problem away. Did you know that? Brother James, Miss Lily went to heaven January 1st. But you have hope. It doesn't take the loneliness away. It doesn't. Brother Matthew, Paulo's been in heaven for several weeks now, well, a little over a month. We have hope. We know where she's at. She's healed. She's fine. But it doesn't take pain away. Not at all. There's ladies in here, you lost babies 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50 years ago. The pain's still there. But you have hope. In other words, as we help people and we use the Word of God and we live the Word of God, watch this, then the Holy Spirit takes that and gives us the hope we need. May I be selfish for a moment? There's many a time people will come to me and they have a problem. And I look at them and think, your problem isn't near as big as my problem right now. But I'll put my problem aside and I'll help you and I'll help get you through your problem, because your problem is big to you as my problem is big to me. And I'll help person after person after person after person after person, helping them with their problems. And I go back to pick up my problem, Brother Scott, and all of a sudden it's not there. I say, man, where's it at? I had it a little while ago, and I realized that in helping everybody else through their problems, I found the answer to my problem. And it's not near as heavy as it was when I went back to pick it up. Too many of us live by putting our burden on our shoulder and just sitting there complaining about how heavy it is, and we won't help somebody else. There's another set of verses I want to read to you, one of which I use almost every day of my life. It's a verse by which I sign my name and different things. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. As we help others, God says, I'll give you the answer to what you're looking for. But if all you're going to do is seek for it for yourself, you're not going to find it. You're only going to find it as you live the Word of God, helping other people, and the Holy Spirit then will give you the truth needed for you to carry the burden you have, to give you the hope you need. Boy, that's good stuff. Despair, depression, anxiety, bitterness are all a result of people seeking hope but not helping someone find hope. Hope for ourselves is only gotten by giving to someone else. The Holy Spirit's power is not given for you. This is where the healers, feelers, and squealers in the weirdo crowd get messed up. Oh, I got it, I got it, I got it. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. It's not for you. The Holy Spirit was given to work through you to help somebody else. It is not for self-glorification. It is not for self-power. It is so that God could use what you put into your life of truth and your life, and you can help others by him working through you. Yes, sir. But the Holy Spirit was not given for you to say, look what I got. How do you know if somebody is spiritual or not? They're not saying, look at me. They're saying, look at he. It's not a matter of what I know. It's a matter of what he says. It's not about what I feel. It's about what he says. Boy, that's good stuff. Let me finish with this. I've been beside loved ones going to heaven a lot of times. I've preached hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and probably 1,000+ funerals.
Brother Barnes, when my mama passed away, I didn't miss a beat. Oh, I hurt. I was sad. I still miss my mom. You never get over missing somebody. But I never lost hope. Can I tell you why I never lost hope through the homegoing of my mother? Because I've helped so many other people go through it. When the time came, God says, you already know what to do. Let's do it. You've helped everybody else do it. Now it's time to practice what you preach. Sometimes that's not real fun. But when you do it, it works. In the helping of everybody else, I found the hope I needed to hang on to get me through what I needed to get through. I didn't sit there and say, well, I wished I had her another 20 years, and sit there and mourn and grieve and go into despair and depression. No. 40 minutes after my mom took her last breath, I helped plan a funeral for another family. By the time I got home, Mrs. Diener's husband had passed away, and I was talking to her. I preached a funeral on Friday. I preached church on Sunday. I preached mom's funeral on Monday. I preached Mrs. Diener's husband's funeral, Frank's homegoing, on Tuesday. And we had church Wednesday night. Preacher, how did you do that? How'd you keep going? Because I'd already taught people and helped people and carried people's burdens. It was pretty easy for me to carry the one I had to carry. And in the helping of everybody else, God gave me the hope I needed. By the way, that's why we put that booklet out about death. I showed you what God gave me and how I get through all these kinds of situations, revealing death's mystery. I wish you knew how many people have gotten saved at funerals I preached. Thousands. It's amazing. Can I tell you why? We give them hope. And as I help them, they get saved. The Holy Spirit works through me to help them. And when I needed it, God said, son, you already know what to do. You've been through this so many times. You've got the hope you need. Let's go. But when you allow grief and sorrow and burdens to depress you and discourage you and overwhelm you, may I say something? It's all about you and not finding, you're trying to look for hope for yourself. Get out of your funk and go help someone else. Get in the Word of God, obey the Word of God, and go help somebody else, and then God will be able to give you the hope you're looking for. Because you're not looking for it. So many are in search of hope. You don't get it by looking for it. You get it by giving it to someone else. Hope and love are related. Love is not sought and gotten. Love is given and satisfied. Hope is given and satisfied. It's not looked for. Preacher, what am I supposed to do? Sometimes I'm at the end of my rope. Well, you don't even have to tie a knot. Just go find somebody else that's hanging on a little bit lower and go help them. And in the process, you'll climb up the rope because you got to pull them up. You can't push somebody up a rope. You'll have to climb above and pull. You know, you can't push somebody up a rope. In other words, as you help somebody else, you'll go where you need to be. And God says, then you'll turn around saying, I need help. Oh, I got it. You didn't get it by looking for it. You got it by giving it to somebody else. And that, my friend, is how you find hope. Quit looking for it, start giving it. Quit looking for it, start giving it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I promise you, that truth right there could revolutionize your life. There are people here, you need to get off your anxiety medication and start helping somebody. There are people here, you need to get off your depression and go help somebody. Some of you face difficult situations and you're so worried about it, you're causing yourself to be sick. How about you go help somebody?
In helping them then, God will give you the hope you needed that you thought you were looking for. But quit looking for the hope. Look to give hope. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores of hands, you may put them down. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you. You raised your hand, said, preacher, God spoke to my heart today. How about you come kneel at an old-fashioned altar and tell God what's on your heart today?